This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. Look for their newest line, Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic. So for today's episode, while many people are familiar with the concept of hot pot, something you'll find in many different cuisines, you may not be as familiar with Sichuan dry pot. So you'll find this style of dry pot in Sichuan, of course, though it was supposedly invented in Chongqing specifically. It's a family-style dish that is made up of the guest's choice of ingredients, usually one or two types of meat and many vegetables, all wok-fried over high heat with over 20 different spices and herbs. And to help us learn more about this spicy, aromatic, and simply delicious dish is Emily Kang and Meng Ai. They're the co-owners of Mala Project in the East Village. Mala Project is an upbeat and energetic Chinese restaurant that specializes in this dish, dry pot. So after graduating from the Culinary Institute of America, Emily worked in just about every position in restaurant operations before opening Mala Project at the young age of 23. And then her co-owner, Meng Ai, came to the States to pursue a master's degree at NYU in financial engineering. So we'll learn all about them as well. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
So usually my co-host Iris is here and we would kick off the show by asking each other, what's the best thing we ate in the past week? But since she isn't here this week, I'm going to ask you guys, but I'll start first. So I went out for drinks in Bushwick over the weekend and was craving some food after. Ended up at this place called Strange Flavor Burger Shack at the Johnson's Bar in Bushwick. And so it's like kind of like this pop-up food truck experience. And they had like an awesome, just like classic double patty American style burger.
Wow. Our favorite food during the past week.
Yeah.
I've been so busy. I've been eating cashews and almonds for the past week, but
that's a healthy snack, Emily.
That's a healthy snack. Not if you are eating them in bed at 12 a.m. But I think my personal favorite is this Shanghai dry stir-fried dry noodle from Little Alley, which is a Shanghainese restaurant. In Murray Hill, and it's literally right across the street from my apartment. And the owner are really, really close friends of mine. It's just very down-to-earth stir-fried noodle with shredded pork and cabbages. Very simple and fulfilling.
Oh, that's convenient. Yeah. Right across your apartment. Okay. Yeah. Wow. What about you, Meng?
I'm also busy last week. I'm studying now. So, but last week I tried, it will be open in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's a new hotspot in Chinatown.
Oh, exclusive experience.
Yeah, and it's owned by also our close friend, just another owner of the town. But the dry pot is a different concept. It's in Chinatown, and we just try it. It's very traditional and very similar like what we eat in China. It's very spicy.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. That's exciting. What's that project called? Do you mind me asking, or is it kind of under wraps right now?
I think it's a tang pot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So we're talking about dry pot today.
Yeah.
But first of all, where are you girls from? Like, where? How'd you guys meet? How did you come to open Mala Project together?
So we're actually friends since middle school. So we've been knowing each other for 12 years. Our hometown is called Tangshan, which is this small city 2 hours away from Beijing. And I moved to Beijing when I was in high school. We were apart after middle school.
Yeah.
Reconnected in America when
2014.
That's when I just graduated from the Culinary Institute of America, and Meng was just coming here for her
for my graduate school.
Yeah. At NYU. So after, you know, after reconnecting, I had the chance to express my dream of opening a restaurant to some of my ex coworkers at the previous job, which is called China Blue. I also became very, very close friends with the coworkers, and we started talking about this idea of opening a restaurant, and then one thing led to another. It happened in 2014.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so with your background, did you know you were always going to end up in food? Was that like a dream from childhood?
For me, no. I had no idea I was gonna end up in food. In high school, I was actually gonna go for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the summer, I ended up applying to this baking summer school. It was pretty intense. This guy had just came back from Australia, and he was a very, very renowned chef, pastry chef in Australia. So I just went for fun, you know, because young girls baking cookies, it was very romantic. So I started taking the baking class and ended up falling in love with it. And that was the time when we were applying for college.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I only started thinking about maybe having a career in food.
Yeah, you kind of had to make a big decision then.
Yeah, especially in China back then, you know, the parents were traditional. Nobody was...
You guys don't come from, like, families with backgrounds in food. Like, this is fairly new for...
Except for
me. Yeah, for me, my parents, they have the same business. Not the dry pot, but they also own restaurants in China.
Oh, great.
And so I was familiar with the kitchen, with the... with the same
operation.
Yes, yeah. The operation and the business.
Cool. So did you come to the States knowing that you would do something like this project with Emily? Like, did you know you were going to put your, like, financial engineering degree to this purpose?
That.
Was that a surprise?
Yeah.
She came for financial engineering, and it was just like a random conversation.
So I started this business.
Yeah, and you kind of have your background from your family to, like, draw from.
Yes.
And to advise on that. That's really interesting. So I don't think everyone knows what mala means. Could you guys dig into that a bit more and also tell us why you guys decided to do a dry pot concept instead of a hot pot one?
So ma means numbing. Pretty much it's talking about the numbing sensation from Sichuan peppercorn. When you eat it, your tongue starts tingling. And la means spicy in Mandarin. So mala together is a very, it's a signature flavor in Sichuan cuisine, which is also, you know, it's a signature cuisine in Chinese cuisine. And the reason behind opening a dry pot place rather than any other restaurant is that, first of all, it's a very easy operation. In being a 23-year-old and a 22-year-old, we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. So choosing an easier operation is a much safer choice. Mm-hmm. Just because the nature of the food itself, the main thing that goes into the mala dry pot, the most important part is the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And not as much, you know, it's also a much simpler menu structure.
Yeah, because, that makes sense.
Yeah, because the dry pot is literally however you want it, you can make it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having 50 different dishes on your menu, you just have this one plus maybe 20 other like small plates, whatnot. So it was a very easy operation concept for us, and also it was kind of just trying to solve our own craving.
Yes, for me, I have my college in China, and the province is Hubei.
Mm-hmm.
Where the climate is very white, so people like to eat spicy food, and there is a dry pot restaurant in front of our college.
Mm.
So I really love the food here, and I went there about twice or three times a week. So and when I came to New York, and I can just find the dry pot in Falashin in some food court, but the flavor is not as good as in China, and there's no the dry pot restaurant in Manhattan. So we're thinking about maybe we can do something to take this concept to Manhattan.
Yeah, that's really great in solving your own hunger needs too.
Yeah.
So is it a new thing, or has dry pot been around in China for a while now?
Dry pot started, I think, in the 80s.
Okay.
And really became popular in the late 90s and in early 2000. It's obviously compared to 5,000 years of, you know,
Chinese heritage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a very new concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another, it's a play off of hot pot.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's quicker, and you don't have to sit there for 2 hours cooking your own.
Right, but you still get all of the customization aspects.
Exactly.
Of it. So could you walk us through like a mala project experience?
Yeah, so when you walk in the interior, we put a lot of work into the interior, because you know, nowadays people eat with their eyes.
Full senses.
Exactly. Before even you walk in. The decor is like a kind of like a 90s public Chinese school style. We will have the sayings like manners and culture on our wall. A lot of the illustrations that are created from our childhood experiences, like the Monkey King, stuff like that. So when you walk in, it's kind of like a hutong feel in, mm-hmm. in China. And then when you sit down and started ordering, you'll have about, I think there are 56 different ingredients that go into the dry pot, including you'll have your different categories: meat, seafood, soy product, vegetables. Yeah, and the rule is to pick as much as you want, as mix as much as you want. Mm-hmm. So you can literally have meat on meat on meat on shrimp.
Meat lovers, okay.
Exactly.
Surf and turf, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. So the more the merrier. Mm-hmm. The more you mix it, the more fun it is. And then you get to pick your preferred spicy level. So we actually do offer non-spicy level, from non-spicy to super spicy. And then you move on to different appetizers, some snacks, and dim sum.
Mm-hmm. And then the fully cooked mixture comes to your table in what form?
In a bamboo pot, and it's a communal pot. Mm. So it could be a small pot for yourself, or it could be a larger pot for six people. It's really however you want it to be.
Yeah, and it's about that communal sharing experience.
Exactly, yeah.
Too. Cool. So what are some of your guys' favorite combinations right now?
So for me, I love meats. So I always choose a lot of meats, like Isle of Round, meatball, and the beef champ. Mm-hmm. And there's also a very secret or very funny thing on our menu is the Rooster XXX.
Okay.
I just tried once.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. You gotta ask.
I never forgot about the taste and the experience, and just once is enough for me.
So
but
what
a
is
lot
it?
Of customers love it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Rooster Testicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's bold. How did you guys decide to add that to the menu, and how many customers order it?
We wanted to put it on the menu because that's what you will see in a Chinese dry pot place in China. And another thing is knowing that it's not going to be popular, it's not going to be selling that well. It's kind of like a statement of defining who you really are, you know, with that Rooster XXX or without it. It's a different feeling, and it creates a conversation around it. Not a lot of people order it, so I guess our most food waste comes from that ingredient.
But worth it.
But it's worth it because mm-hmm. a lot of people will come in and just order it to try. And we've had a lot of requests to just have one and
just go just try it.
Just to try what
reaxes.
It is. Exactly. And you know, they'll sometimes ask for it to be on the side and,
sure.
and just to see what it is. And that's you know, that's worth it. Just to have people come in and experience.
Yeah,
that.
Cater to the adventurous mm-hmm. eaters. Mm-hmm. And Emily, do you have a favorite combination?
Personally, potato, lotus root, and some tofu, stuff like that. I'm also a meat lover, so it really depends on the mood. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will have all vegetarian pot.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'll just have a all meat pot.
Okay, I love that. You can go in like any day of the week depending on your mood and
yeah.
really customize it.
Yeah, that's the best part about it.
That's cool. All right, so we're going to take a really quick break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. You put a lot of care and thought into what you eat. After all, you're a food radio listener. That thoughtfulness goes hand in paw with how you feed your pets. Purposeful pet food doesn't happen by accident. Castor and Pollux scours the earth to carefully select the best organic and responsibly sourced ingredients. New Pristine from Castor and Pollux is the only complete line of pet food made with ingredients that are responsibly raised, caught, or grown. feed your dog or cat the new standard, like grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, and vegetables grown without synthetic fertilizers or chemical pesticides. Pristine from Castor and Pollux. Purposeful pet food. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West. I'm here with Emily and Meng of Mala Project. So we're talking about Sichuan dry pot. What makes a good dry pot? How would you define that?
So the most important part of dry pot is the sauce. Actually, there are different three different types of sauces that go into dry pot. You have the spicy oil, the spicy sauce, and then the dry pot sauce, which is not spicy at all, but there are more than 24 different spices that go into that sauce, and that's the essence of our dry pot, because there is no MSG, and you know, MSG makes everything taste better, but it makes you feel not so good afterwards. Because of the fact that we don't use any, it takes a lot of work to recreate that aroma and that addicting flavor in dry pot, that just like the ones that you will have back home.
Yeah, and how did you guys or your chef come up with this secret recipe?
We tried it a lot of times from the very beginning. I remember even after 1 year, we still do some changes to the sauce of the dry pot. And we always try new Chinese, the new sauce, new spicy into it, and try if it will bring some new flavor.
Yeah. And do you guys go back to China for... like research, stuff like that, or like, you know, go to Flushing to try other dry pots too?
Mm-hmm. We try to go back maybe twice a year to go to Sichuan, go to Chengdu, to see what's going on, what's happening. And Meng also, her parents run hotels and restaurants in China, so she talks to them a lot.
Yeah, and when Manhattan also have a new dry pot, maybe we will try it.
Yeah. That's cool. And then, so are you guys surprised by how well received Mala Project has been? So like every time I've stopped by the restaurant, it's like buzzing with activity.
Yeah, we're so blessed.
Yay!
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we feel very, very lucky. And the feedbacks have been very, mostly positive. And our customers have been very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm. Like you have regulars now too and everything?
Yes, and some customer make friends with our employees and they will have a drink after the works.
Yeah.
And also hang out.
Right. You're building that community.
Yeah.
And I've also noticed that like particular area of the East Village that you're in has a bunch of, you know, newer Chinese specialty restaurants opening up. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that? And what's it like being in that kind of network?
It's very, very exciting to see the scene that's popping in. And I remember when we first started working on Mala, there isn't as many Chinese restaurants in that area, let alone in Manhattan. But now you can see a lot of new Chinese restaurant with, good design, good service, and you can see that people are taking notice to those aspects that the traditional American Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, and then some of that experience also that you find in Chinatown, while maybe the food is, cheap and delicious, maybe like the service isn't all there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And people are taking notice to that. So that's very exciting to see for us. And especially when you have that community and you have somebody to talk to and you're going through the same thing. So
you trade notes with the other restaurant owners?
Almost. Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. What do you guys like talk about? What are some of the things that you really lean on each other for?
So we exchange information about vendors, your contractor versus my plumber, stuff like that. We exchange our source of our Sichuan peppercorn.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Like, let's order that in bulk, guys.
Yeah, like our PR agency, we share that resource too. So it's really great.
Yeah, that's so cool. And so what are your hopes for the future of Mala Project? And Mala Dry Pot, actually, you know, the entire Sichuan food scene here in New York. What do you want to see for that?
I think we just want to we just want people to see what it is and as is. And honestly, when I first came to America, when it was 2010, mm-hmm. The Chinese food scene in America is not what it is. And I did not go to Chinatown for once. I went a couple of times, but I didn't enjoy my experience in mm-hmm. Chinatown. We just wish that Chinese food scene is you know, as authentic as it can get in America. And I think we're going towards that direction.
In the 7 years that you've been here, mm-hmm. I agree. We've seen a huge wave and resurgence of like focus on specialty Chinese and not just like, you know, your everything in one kind of menu.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not just takeout restaurants. It's not just spicy and Sichuan. Because mm-hmm. Chinese cuisine has so much to offer. You know, like different cities, a city can have their own cuisine. There is so much that are going on, which is, you know, you want to bring that to people to make them known.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really great. And so what other projects do you guys have going on? Will you open like another store, another concept, or like, are you working on like creative projects too?
Oh, we're opening our second location maybe in the next month.
Oh, that is soon. No yeah. wonder you ladies are so busy.
And it's located in Bryant Park.
Oh, perfect. That's right by my work.
Yep. Yeah, and also okay. Emily has also started her own business.
Yeah, so I'm also working on another restaurant. It's called Tomorrow, mm-hmm. Mingru, and it's a Chinese takeout.
Oh, okay.
But I wish, you know, it's not your regular Chinese takeout.
The greasy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice design, it's decoration, and we'll play with the service and whatnot. But it's in Friday. Hopefully, I'm trying to get it open this Monday or this
next month.
This Sunday.
Oh. Wow.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck, ladies. That's really amazing. You're like diversifying your Manhattan portfolio very quickly. Yeah.
Mala Project should be really exciting. Just because the main reason that we wanted to open the second Mala Project is that it's the power or the influence of one single restaurant is so small,
mm-hmm.
And if you want to make that cuisine more available to more people, one of the ways to do it is to open the second location.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And is there going to be any difference in the food that's offered, or will it be really consistent to your East Village location?
It'll be mostly the same, although in Bryant Park we'll do more focus on business lunch combo. Mm-hmm. So
I'm raising my hand. Yeah. I'll be there.
So more business crowd.
Yep, yeah. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories and all the cool updates you guys have.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and that wraps up our show for today. Where can listeners learn more about the both of you and Mala Project online?
Our website is malaproject.nyc. Our Instagram handle is Mala Project. Yeah, my personal handle is Amelie Kang, AmelieKang.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for everyone for tuning into this episode. If you have any feedback for us or suggestions for future episodes, please do reach out. We love hearing from you, so just hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or email us at feastmeetswest@heritageradio.org. And we'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.